Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK,
The Lutheran Inquisitor, examining pressing issues and their ramifications for the Church today. The state of the Church in Sweden is the topic of today's show with your host, Pastor John Ehlers.
We'd like to welcome to Lutheran Radio UK Dr. Bengt Birgesson and his wife Maria, who are visiting the UK, and we're going to chat about life in Sweden and the mission province in Sweden. But first, can you give us an overview, Dr. Birgesson, of the state of the state church in Scandinavia and particularly in Sweden?
The church in the Scandinavian countries of a very old date. So more than 1,000 years, Christianity has been in Sweden. And in Norway, Denmark, and nearly as long as that, also in Finland. And that was, of course, when the Roman Catholic Church was the only one. When it came to Sweden, at the Reformation time, the Church of Sweden continued as a real Lutheran church. The year 1593, there was a church assembly in Sweden, in Uppsala, where it was decided that the Church of Sweden should be a Lutheran church. And added to the Book of Concord, the decision of Uppsala, the Uppsala meeting, where it was really stated that the state church of Sweden, or the Church of Sweden, is now a Lutheran church. During the time of Orthodoxy, the Church of Sweden was a real Lutheran church. When the Enlightenment time came, there was, of course, many different threats. And also the different pietistic movements coming in over Sweden. And also later on, during the 19th century and during the big awakening movements, there were many different movements within the Scandinavian countries, especially in Sweden, more in Sweden than in other countries. And also when baptism became stronger also in Germany and in England, it also came to Sweden. Also at the beginning of the 20th century, the Pentecostal movement grew very strongly in Sweden. The Church of Sweden, during all these years, has been going up and down. There was a strong way back to Lutheran confession at the end of the 19th century, and back to good Lutheran agendas for the church. After the Enlightenment movement, the agenda of the Lutheran Church of Sweden, or the state church, was not so good, but it was there was a real improvement of the agenda. At the beginning of the 20th century, when the Social Democrats in Sweden came to authority, they, to begin with, had a goal to separate the church from the state. There was one man within the Social Democratic Party, and he was also a minister. He said, no, let us keep the church until we have changed it. That was not publicly said, but it is sort of a public secret. And when the church was separated from the state, the year 2000, the goal to change the church was really reached. One of the tools for the government was using democracy. For all the church elections, there were different political parties, and they could put up candidates without faith. They were not interested in the church. So the political agenda from the side of the state is one of the big reasons for how the Church of Sweden have become very conformed with the state and the status of the country. And the year 1958, when the church assembly decided to open the ministry for women, that was the first time in the history of the Church of Sweden when the church had a decision against the Word of God. There was a bishop in the church assembly who clearly saw what was going on. And he said, now the Church of Sweden has opened its door for Gnosticism, and now anything can happen, and anything has happened. Mm. And looking later on the agenda of homosexuality, and how now the Church is in the front line of being supporting the political agenda in these questions, we have come to such a sad point. I can give you an example. Last spring, the Bishop of Gothenburg, he decided to take part of the Pride or Gay Festival and the parade, and on the website of the Swedish Church of Gothenburg, he encouraged all his fellow workers to come along with him and walk with him in this parade. So looking into his way of working and acting, you can understand what the Church of Sweden has gone to. At the first election now for the Archbishop in Uppsala, and they just pointed out different candidates for the election. The one who get most votes was the female bishop of Lund, and we suppose that the Archbishop of Sweden next year will be a woman. During all these times and this development, there have been many groups trying to stay confessional, to be faithful to the Word of God, to the Book of Concord. But there are many also different agendas. Some people are more high church people, and they look more perhaps to a Roman Catholic way of working. Within my work as the education secretary, I was also for some years the principal of the gymnasium or high school. We recognized so many young men who were denied ordination in the Church of Sweden. They were at our seminary, Lutheran School of Theology. They applied for ordination in the Church of Sweden, and they had to confess, if they were to be ordained, confess that they were ready to cooperate with female pastors. And those who did not accept that, they were not accepted as pastor candidates in the Church of Sweden. 1993, the bishops of the Church of Sweden had decided that no one can be ordained without accepting female pastors. And the year 2000, when the church was separated from the state, and with the new church order of 2000, it was really stated in our statutes of the Church of Sweden, you must accept this, otherwise you cannot be a pastor there. And out of this, when we found that there are so many young pastors, young candidates in our surroundings, at our seminary, in our congregations, and they will not be ordained, we began to think, but all these young men, they are the Lord's gifts to the church, and the church does not accept the Lord's gifts. And therefore, we really searched for ways. How can we handle this? How can we receive them and give them to the church? And there were many, many discussions within different groups, where I also was a part, and out of that came the Mission Province the year 2003.
So the Mission Province was born to help ordain and install confessional conservative Lutheran pastors into parishes, is that right?
Exactly. That was the big issue when we started.
So how has the Mission Province grown, and what do you do, and can you tell us a bit more about the Mission Province?
When we started the Mission Province, it was actually to help new small groups, small congregations or koinonias, to give them ordained pastors. And so the first thing we had to do was to just to find a way to ordain pastors. And we discussed for a long time, should we have a Presbyterian or Episcopalian way of dealing with this? According to our old tradition in Sweden, we thought that for a young man to be recognized as a really ordained pastor, that it's necessary to, it's good at least, to have Episcopal ordinations. And therefore, we decided when we formed the structure of the Mission Province that there should be bishops, just as we have had in the Church of Sweden. And we wanted to follow the line of the Church of Sweden. The old Church of Sweden, which has been a confessional Lutheran church for so many years, for centuries, and we wanted to go in that line and be a sort of a continuing church of the Church of Sweden. And therefore we elected bishops, And we asked a Kenyan bishop, Bishop Walter Rubare, to come to Sweden to do this. He comes from a church which is actually founded by a Swedish mission society. So when he came to Sweden, he said that when my grandparents is calling, I will come. And the year 2005, in February, he consecrated one bishop. And then this bishop, he ordained the same day three young men, two for Sweden and one for Finland. And that was also a very encouraging thing, that Finland was from the beginning a very important part of the work for this, for the mission province and finding a way for ordination. And that was the first goal, to find a way for ordination. In the year 2005, we had found it. And from then on, we have worked. And the mission province is a sort of a church structure. It's a church body in that sense. Even if not all of us have left the Church of Sweden. And some of the pastors belonging to our pastoral collegium, they are still pastors in the Church of Sweden.
How about the congregations? Are they separate, or are they some of them still part of the Church of Sweden as well?
All the congregations within the mission province in Sweden, Finland, and also those in Norway, they are outside the national churches. And the national churches do not accept the mission province in any way.
So have they excommunicated you?
Some of us. Not excommunicated us, but they have defrocked some of us. So all those who have been consecrated bishops, they are now seven. Two of them are retired, and five are in work in Sweden and Finland and Norway. Those who have been consecrated bishops, they are defrocked from the national churches, or will very soon be. And also I was defrocked the year 2006 after a process with the cathedral chapter. And the decision was, due to my deep concern and work also publicly for the mission province, I cannot be a pastor in the Church of Sweden anymore.
And so how is this relationship then with the state church carried on? Or is it not carried on? Or how do you coexist with each other, I suppose, is my question. Or do you coexist?
No, we do not. Of course, in one way we do. There are some pastors within the Church of Sweden who still find a way to work, and with good conscience. And with those, we have a very good relationship. And they look upon the mission province as the future. But they are still within the system of the Church of Sweden, or in Church of Finland also, and also in the Church of Norway. The situation is very similar to each other.
So how large is the mission province in Sweden? How many pastors, congregations, members?
It's not very big. We like to count all those in Finland, Sweden, and Norway. And then there are about perhaps 60 or between 60 and 70 congregations all over the countries. In Sweden, there are just 12 congregations which are really members of the mission province. There are about 15 different groups or congregations which are not belonging to the mission province, but they are served by pastors who belongs to the pastor collegium, and several of them have been ordained within the mission province. Since we started the year 2005, there are 37 pastors have been ordained, and when we think of that, we are very, very happy.
And you say that about half of those have been ordained in Finland and roughly half in Sweden.
Yeah, that's right.
And education, as I understand it, plays a very important part within the life of the mission province of Sweden, and that's something you're very heavily involved in. Can you tell us a little bit about the educational work that goes on in the mission province?
There are links between Sweden and Finland, but the way they do it in Finland is a bit different from how we do it in Sweden. You know, there's a real language problem. Nobody in Sweden understand Finnish. But most Finnish people, they do understand Swedish. But that's a very difficult language. And due to this language problem, we cannot have the same way of dealing with this. But most of those who have been ordained in Sweden, they are educated and graduated from our new small Lutheran theological institution in Gothenburg, called Lutheran School of Theology, which started in 1993, and from the year 2000, we had our own three-year program, which now is accredited as a bachelor program with a bachelor degree, accredited by a European Evangelical Accrediting Association. And they have this education there, and then a half year of pastoral training at another institute called the Lutheran Foundation in Gothenburg, runs a small institute for training pastors more practically. And I'm very happy that we could start this education, theological education in Gothenburg. I'm proud of it. We are also now working for a joint STM project together with the CTS, Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, in the United States. And I'm very much looking forward to what will happen. Some of our students at the Seminary of Gothenburg have been STM students in Fort Wayne, and that has lifted their knowledge and insights, and we find it very, very useful and helpful for the congregational work in the Mission Province.
And I understand you also have a Bible college.
Yes.
Or a Bible school. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
We have a Bible school with 19 students. This is a way of opening the eyes of different people. Those coming in, they have seen, found it on the internet. Some of them, they don't come from Lutheran congregations. They come, some of them are Pentecostals, and they come to a Lutheran school and get to know what Lutheran theology and biblical understandings are. We try to help them into prayer life and to biblical understanding and also to understand what is Lutheran theology about.
And I also understand it goes even further back than that. You also have quite a large high school in Gothenburg as well. Can you tell us a little bit about your work with educating the youth as well?
Actually, this school is 80 years old next year, and it started as a sort of a pastoral high school for those who wanted to study theology after high school. And that worked for quite many years. So that was just a school for young men, not always very young. They could be also a bit older, but they had to admit that they were planning to study theology for mission work or pastoral work. But during the 80s, there was a change, and out of that, from the year 1991, we planned to divide this so that we'll be a Lutheran Christian high school and a Lutheran seminary, instead of having the old one. Now there is an ordinary Swedish gymnasium, we call it that. It's a different ordinary programs with natural science and social science and much of languages, and also a music program. They go there for 3 years. Not all of them are Christians, but they daily morning prayers. And every week there is a common morning service in the cathedral run by the headmaster or one of the pastors in at school. The headmaster or principal is also a pastor. All of them have to go through Bible science as a required program for all of them who want to be students at our school.
And sitting next to you, I believe, is a fruit of the educational system of the Mission Province of Sweden. Your lovely wife, Maria. Would like to ask Maria, because it's my understanding that this Pentecost, you were commissioned as the first deaconess within the Mission Province of Sweden. Can you tell us how that happened, the training you went through, and what a deaconess does within the Mission Province of Sweden?
We have many children, and I have been working at home and trying to raise the children. So 10 years ago, I started studying art history. And one of my daughters said, shouldn't you study something that you can really use? For me, it was useful. But I started taking some courses at this theological school I went on after the first year, and I studied theology, but also with a diaconal program. It took longer time for me to do it than it should have, because, well, we have family and a congregation and so on. But after approximately 3 years, I think, I was done with this. And as I studied, I felt that to be a deaconess, to serve the congregation in this special way, is something that I really would like to do. And so after trying this in board of the mission province, I was commissioned. A deaconess is to help those who preach the word of God, and to help people to come closer to the word of God and make it possible for them. This is something very new in our congregation. Our congregation has existed for 7 years, and we are looking for ways to go. Now in the process of forming a diaconal group, our congregation is very young. It's most families with the young children and a few elderly people. We have started a mission project in another part of Gothenburg, with a lot of immigrants and people having a lot of problems with alcohol and drugs and things like that. And we have started having services. We are now considering to have Bible studies in English. We have tried to offer kids help with their homework. A lot of Muslims there, and it's really difficult to get in or get close to them. So we're praying that God will open a door for His word.
So a deaconess has many tasks to do.
Yes, and we hope that there'll be more deaconesses coming.
You're blazing the trail then.
Yes.
And you talk about diaconal work. Now, some of our folks may not be familiar with the word diaconal. Can you explain what that means and perhaps how you as a deaconess see yourself carrying out the diaconal work in the midst of the church or the mission province?
Diaconal is to serve. And we want to serve because the Lord has served us. He is the great deacon, and he sends us. And I think that, of course, it's the whole congregation has the task of being diaconal. But I think that a deaconess or a deacon is a sign of how important it is with diaconal work. And I think that to encourage the congregation to see the people around them, to see how they are, many of them are suffering in different ways and perhaps trying to hide it, but to be the hands and the feet of the Lord wherever he wants. And it's difficult to say, it's right there. And through the history of the church, it has been very different. Sometimes the deacons have done a lot with administration and helping the poor and so on, and sometimes it has been with education and so on. It's really to see where the needs are. And for me, one thing that is very important is to talk to with women that want to, perhaps doesn't want to go to a pastor, but to another woman about problems, and perhaps go to the elderly and sick people. That is also something that I think is, there are great needs.
So it's really putting our theology into practice.
Yeah.
That's right.
Now, can I ask you a little bit about how you think society views the church in Sweden? I mean, Bengt has given us a bit of background on the state church and the state of the state church, but the common person in Sweden, what do they think about the church?
For most of them, it is, you know, when you baptize a child, when you get married, funeral, then it's a help.
So they see it more as a cultural role than as a spiritual role.
Yeah.
So most people in Sweden would find the church pretty irrelevant in their day-to-day living.
Yeah.
Now, Dr. Birgesson, you have mentioned to me the close ties that you have with the mission provinces in Finland and Sweden and now in Norway. Can you tell us a little bit about how you work together to accomplish the goals. You said that recently there was a big meeting among the church leaders. Can you tell us about how that happened and what they've decided and how you're planning on moving forward?
It has been a real joint project, this mission province. And when we started, the people from Finland and the leadership of a group called the Lutheran Foundation in Finland, and we worked together and we planned together. But we also thought, and they planned, that they would form their own mission diocese in Finland. And so they did last spring. That does not mean that they want to go their own way. And the same with those in Norway. We want to really point to that the church is not national and cannot be national. The church is always international. 2 weeks ago, we met in Drammen in Norway. And we had very good discussions. And now we are planning that we should together meet with the leadership of the ILC. And we want to do this together, which was very important for us. That we don't do that separately. We do that together.
And so you are very keen on expanding these connections with other confessional Lutheran churches throughout Europe and around the world.
Yes, because we know that the church is one. There is only one church, and that has to be realized, and we have to recognize the other churches. And of course, Denmark is the closest of the Nordic countries, and we hope also there will be discussions with those, which are very confessional, and we hope that there will be links in the near future.
Could I just ask both of you what you think the biggest challenges for the church in Sweden, particularly the mission province, what those biggest challenges could be, and what the biggest opportunities or most exciting possibilities for the future, what those are?
The Lord has promised that He will be with us when we work and go on His command. And I think the most important thing for us, and what that is our greatest challenge, is to raise new congregations. Congregations are the real mission tool. The congregation itself is the missionary to the society, to the people around us. And we have to raise new congregations. And when we educate and ordain new pastors, they are not goal in themselves. They are to be there to be those who administer the word and the sacraments within these congregations. And the congregations has to do mission work. And they are missionaries in itself. And a real challenge is also to renew love in the congregations. In a postmodern time, in a postmodern society, it's very difficult to convince people about the truth. It is the love of the Christian people in the congregation, when they see how they love each other and when they recognize how they coming in, they meet loving people. So one of the real challenges and tasks is to encourage the real Christian love coming out of the true gospel about the cross, Christ's love to us.
And Maria, anything that you would like to add to that?
I think that in this time when people are getting more and more individualistic, that is really a witness to meet people and see them. I think this time forms people that are very confused and lonely. And I think that old people without close family ties, it's a group that is growing bigger and bigger. And to see the elderly people, that's really a very important thing to do in love, not just as it's my job to do it, but I want to do it because I want to come, as I have been met by His love, I want to come to them in that way.
Well, Dr. Bengt Bergesen and Maria Bergesen, it's been lovely to have you as guests on Lutheran Radio UK. We pray God's richest blessings upon you, your congregation, the work that you're doing in Sweden, and for the mission provinces of Sweden and Norway and Finland. We look forward to improving our ties and working more closely with those churches, the ELCE, and we do very much value our friendship, our fellowship, and may God continue to grant all of those growth as we serve him together. Again, thank you for being our guest here on Lutheran Radio UK.
Thank you very much for inviting us.
Thank you for listening to the Lutheran Inquisitor with Pastor John Ehlers. If you have any questions or comments about the issues raised in this program, send an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. The podcast of this show is available from our website. Check our program online and stay tuned.